IRIB English Radio. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrents fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need, which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, dear brothers and sisters. Salam alaikum, welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about good deeds on this episode, so be with us. Ramadan tajalla wa btasama tuba lil 'abdi idha tanama arda maulahu bima iltazama tuba lin nafsi bitaqwaha. But first, let's look at the calendar. Today, Sunday, is the 11th of Ramadan, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 13th of Farvardin, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 2nd of April, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we'll listen to verse 27 of chapter Ma'idah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ ابْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ قَالَ إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ.
And recite to them the story of Adam's two sons, in truth, when they both offered a sacrifice to Allah, and it was accepted from one of them, but was not accepted from the other. Said the latter, "I will surely kill you." Said the former, "Indeed, Allah only accepts from the righteous who fear Him."
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In Islamic literature, it is recorded that Abel was a shepherd and he offered his best lamb as the sacrificial animal. But Cain, who was a farmer, brought the worst part of his agricultural product to sacrifice. The main principle is striving to draw near to Allah, not know to simply sacrifice. Whatever the sacrificial thing may be, the criterion of the acceptance of deeds is piety. Upgrading ourselves by doing good deeds in Ramadan. As the holy month of Ramadan passed by, we should take this opportunity to remember some good deeds that should be done during this blessed month. Ramadan is a wonderful time to perform good deeds that promote spirituality. Every person strives to make this month different from other months by praying more, reading the Quran, feeding the needy, performing itikaf and other good deeds in the hope of Allah's forgiveness and getting closer to paradise in the hereafter. Ramadan is a great opportunity to show the best of ourselves. In doing so, we should not forget our children and try to share some of these good deeds with them so that when they grow up, they have been familiarized with Islamic culture and continue these good deeds in life.
Mm-hmm. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we want to talk about the good deeds and the intention for the good deeds in the holy month of Ramadan. The reward for good deeds in Ramadan is many times more than the other months, and it is quite clear. And in, as we know, the famous hadith that says, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, that is, even the importance of the intentions as prior to the actions, as you just intend to do a good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write that good deed for you in your folders. So it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as soon as you just intended to do something good, will include it in your actions and activities. So what kind of good deeds are good and recommended for us to do and to be performed in the holy month of Ramadan? One is the good deeds in themselves. A person who does one of the good deeds in the month of Ramadan is like a person who has fulfilled 70 of God's obligations. This is what a hadith says. That is, if you perform one good deed in the holy month of Ramadan, it is as if you have performed, that is, you have fulfilled 70 God's obligations. Second, breaking the fast to those who are fasting or providing iftar for the fast people is the next good deed that we can think of in this holy month. The one who provides iftar for the people who are fasting, for him, that is for the host, there is a reward like the fasting person, while nothing is reduced from the fasting person's rewards. The third is to give alms in this holy month among the good deeds that we can perform this holy month. Whoever gives charity in the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove 70 kinds of calamities from him. This is a narration that I have just recited for you. The next good deed that we can think of, and at least we can have the intention of performing any of these actions that I'm talking about, is recitation of the Holy Quran and reading the Holy Quran. So, and whoever recites a verse in the month of Ramadan, its superiority over other months is like the superiority of Prophet over his Ummah. That is the priority and superiority of this month over the other months, and specifically recitation of the Holy Quran in this month.
In the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah.
In the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah, be with IRIB English Radio, today's special.
Every day from IRIB English Radio. Ya Allah, adil fi qada'ik. Ya
Allah, wasi'a fi 'ata'ik. This is today's special, and one question. What is the factor by which the reward for righteous deeds in Ramadan is multiplied? Because Ramadan is of high status, acts of obedience during the month are of immense virtue and earn a greatly multiplied reward, and the sin of acts of obedience during this month is greater and more serious than sins at other times. So the Muslim should make the most of this blessed month by doing acts of worship and righteous deeds and giving up bad deeds in the hope that Allah will bless him by accepting those good deeds and will enable him to adhere to the truth. But the bad deed always incurs an equal burden of sin and is never multiplied either in Ramadan or at other times. Whereas a good deed receives a multiple reward, tenfold up to many times more than that. The multiplication of reward for good deeds in Ramadan and at other times is multiplication in terms of quantity and quality. What is meant by quantity is the number, so a good deed earns a more than tenfold reward. What is meant by quality is that the reward is made greater and more abundant. أرجو رضاك يا الله أنت الرحيم يا الله هبني عطاك يا الله أنت الكريم ومنك العطاء يا الله أنت العظيم يا الله فيك الرجاء يا الله أنت الحليم الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتكبر
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال
الله الله يا ربي يا الله
About it. What are good deeds anyone can do during Ramadan? One of them is volunteering. Volunteering is a wonderful way to make a positive impact and help others who may be less fortunate than you. Spend a few hours working in a homeless shelter or passing out items in a community food pantry. The other good deed is donate to charity. Yeah. There are thousands of wonderful charities who do excellent work with their limited funds and resources. Take a moment to donate to an organization that represents a cause you are passionate about. The other good deed is random acts of kindness. Random acts of kindness can go a long way in making someone's day, and people of all ages can take actions. If you see a stranger struggling with doing something, offer a hand, even if your help is refused. It is the thought that counts. Something as small as holding a door can make a profound impact on their lives.
Before the month of Ramadan, the Prophet expressed the virtues of Ramadan. At the end of the speech, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam asked the Prophet, he told him, Ya Rasulallah, ma afdhul al-a'mal fi hadha al-shahr? What's the best act in the month of Ramadan? The best deed? The Imam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi told him, Ya Abul Hasan, al-wara'u an maharamillah. The best act in the month of Ramadan is to keep away from sins. It's to protect yourself from sins. If the month of Ramadan you manage to keep away from sins, you're a successful human being. This is the best thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from you. Then the Prophet, peace be upon him, broke into tears. He was asked, Ya Rasulullah, why do you cry? I mean, Ali ibn Abi Talib didn't ask a sensitive question. He just asked, what's the best deed? And you said, al-wara'u an maharamillah. Why do you cry? The Prophet, after crying and crying, he said, I cry, O Ali, because in this holy month, yamba'athu ashqa al-akhirin, the wretched man, meaning Ibn Muljam, he will strike you in this holy month of Ramadan, such that your blood will stain your beard. This will happen to you, Ya Ali ibn Abi Talib. Yes, the Prophet cried many, many years before this, over 30 years before Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib was martyred, the Prophet cried for him. You know what Imam Ali asked when the Prophet gave him this sad news that he will be struck in the month of Ramadan? He asked one question. Awa fi salamatin min dini ya Rasulullah? Tell me about my religion at the time, my deen. Will I be on the correct deen of Allah? The Prophet said, yes, you will be on the deen of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Prophet does dua for Amir al-Mu'mineen. The Prophet says, oh Allah, whoever kills Ali ibn Abi Talib, it's as if he's killed me. Whoever harasses him has harassed me. Whoever follows Ali ibn Abi Talib has followed me. Whoever rejects him has rejected me.
That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. And till another episode, inshallah, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us listen to a famous statement from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, regarding his loyal wife, the mother of all true believers, Umm al-Mu'mineen, Hazrat Khadija, peace be upon her. Khadija outclassed all other ladies in the world in her belief in God and in the Messenger of God.
Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful hadith which has been transmitted from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This hadith is about fasting in cold weather. As you know, we are in the month of Ramadan right now. This is a very beautiful month, and it's a very special month. It is the month in which, of course, you know, God Almighty revealed the Holy Quran to His Prophet. It is also the month in which we are obliged to fast. There's a lot of distinctions for this month. It's the month in which the famous night of ordainment, the Laylatul Qadr, has been said to occur. And, you know, it is a month of forgiveness, the month in which the doors of repentance are opened. A lot of distinctions and blessed distinctions and characteristics and features have been mentioned for this month. In this beautiful hadith, the Prophet Muhammad speaks about fasting in cold weather. As you know, the Islamic calendar is a lunar calendar, so the seasons in which the months occur varies. At one time, Ramadan could fall in the summer. Gradually, you know, it changes, and you know, then it falls in the winter. Then it finally comes back in the summer. So, like for example, a Muslim in his lifetime, he probably will see Ramadan a couple of times in the summer, then you know, a couple of times in the winter. So, and obviously, fasting in summer it has been very difficult. In the past, especially with, you know, what's going on right now as far as global warming is concerned and world temperatures in various parts of the world, especially Muslim world rising and stuff. But fortunately, now it's moving backwards. Ramadan is slowly coming back, and now it's fallen in the springtime. Weather is a little bit cooler, and, you know, this is a blessing, you know, for us. And the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this hadith, he alludes to this. The Prophet said, fasting in cold weather is an easy thing to do. The actual wording of the hadith is a little different from the translation given in you know, the text I'm reading from. As-sawmu fi shita al-ghanimatul barida. It is, fasting is a, it is a wealth, or it is a blessing. Fasting in cold weather is a blessing. It's a ghanimat. It's very hard, kind of hard. This is one of those words that are very, a little bit difficult to translate. It's a good opportunity. Ramadan falls in the season in which weather is a little bit cooler, this is a good opportunity. It's a good thing to take advantage of, and you know, you can easily perform your fast. Something similar has been mentioned in, you know, a lot another tradition. In that tradition, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, winter is the springtime of a believer. Its nights are long, so he can make use of them to stand in prayer, whereas its days are short, and he can make use of them to fast. This is another blessing. The days are shorter, and not only is the weather cooler, but the days are shorter, making fasting easier. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at fasting in cool weather from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك
Let's recite the Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Why don't you say with me? A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Actually, when you say wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi tahirin, it means you are reciting salawat, okay? But again, we recite a salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Practice these things, okay? Inshallah, when you become a teacher, okay, you have to understand how to say, okay? Yes?
Yeah,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
Okay, so Alhamdulillah, we were talking about Hamzatul Wasl and Qata.
Yes.
Let's practice some examples. Okay, examples. For example, when we have articles, okay, Alif and Lam. You say, for example, الذين. Say
الذين
or العالمين.
Al-Alamin
Al-Mursalun
Al-Mursalun
Look, we have Al-Mursalun Mim Dhamma. But again, because it has Alif Lam, you have to read it with Fatha, the Hamzatul Wasl with Fatha. Yes?
I don't understand.
You don't understand?
No, say again.
May Allah Almighty help you.
So,
no, remember that we said in the words that have Alif and Lam, you don't have to pay attention to the third letter. It's Fatha, Kasra, Dhamma. Don't care about it. Okay? Don't care about it. Just read it with Fatha. Al-Mursalun Mim Dhamma. No problem. Mim Kasra, for example. Mim Fatha. Does not matter. You have to read the Hamzatul Wasl with Fatha. Al-Kitab, Al-Rahman, Al-Hamd, Al-Ladina, Al-Jibal, Al-Shams, Al-Qamar.
Yeah?
Al-Quran, like this.
Al-Kitab.
So, come back. Okay, come to these words. When we have Hamzatul Wasl, then a second letter, then the third letter.
Yeah.
The third letter has
something.
The third letter has
Kasra and Fatha. The Hamzatul Wasl should be Fatha if it's Zamma.
Fatha?
Yeah. No, sorry, Kasra.
Zamma, Zamma, Zamma.
And it has Fatha, it should be Kasra.
Yeah,
and
if
fatha,
it has
Kasra.
Great. If it has Dhamma, the third letter,
yes,
you have to add or read that Hamzatul Wasl with a Dhamma.
Yes.
If it has Kasra or Fatha, you have to read the Hamzatul Wasl with a Kasra. Let's read some examples. For example, Udkhulu. Udkhulu. Khu has Dhamma, yes? So how should we say it?
Udkhulu,
not idkhulu, not adkhulu. In the Quran we have Udkhuluha misalamin aminin. Yeah? Udkhuluha misalamin aminin. So say everyone. Udkhuluha misalamin aminin.
Amin means safe.
Okay.
Arabic class finished.
Next one. Uqtulu.
Uqtulu means kill.
Kill them.
Yes.
Uqtulu. So.
Uqtulu. Hadol.
Uqtuluhum haythu faqiftumuhum. Okay. So.
Uqtulu.
Uqtulu. Tu. Dhamma or kasra?
Tu.
Tu.
Tu. Dhamma.
Dhamma. Dhamma or fatha? Dhamma. Fatha or dhamma, Mahdi?
Dhamma. Fatha.
Dhamma. Uqtulu. So you have to read the Hamzatul Wasl with Hamzatul Wasl with Dhamma. Uqtulu.
Uqtulu.
For example, Unsur.
Unsur means Unsur. I don't know what that means actually.
Unsur. Unsur. Saad has Dhamma, yeah?
Say this example.
I'm saying the example. Unsur
means take over.
Again, you become confused. Next example.
Take over.
For example, we said in Surah Al-Hamd, Dina.
Ihdina.
Kasra. It has Kasra. Dual Kasra.
Ihdi.
So you use Kasra with Hamzatul Wasl. In Suratul Alaq.
Alaq.
The first verse which was descended to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Iqra.
Why? Because Ra has Fatha. Iqra.
Iqra.
Right?
Iqra.
Okay.
Qalqala. Iqra.
So, when we say A'udhu, is A'udhu the Hamza? Is it qat or wasl? Is it qat or wasl?
Qat.
Qat, because it has harakat. A'udhu.
A'udhu.
Okay. That's it. But remember, okay, there are some exceptions. There are some exceptions in the Quran, okay? Some words, okay, that you read them with kasra, even if they have dhamma, the third letter has dhamma. For example, ittaqullah. You didn't say uttaqullah. Ittaqullah. Actually, the third letter does not have the third letter itta. That is because ta has tashdid. Yes, ta has tashdid. Itta. Ta has tashdid. Yes.
Yes. It just saw
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim has three wasl. Hamzatul
wasl. Yeah, mashallah. Bismillah, Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. So, for example, the word.
If the third word was saakin.
Word or.
No,
letter.
Third letter.
I have a question. Allah.
We don't have that letter, okay? That three letters after one another saakin, it's difficult.
No, third letter.
The third letter saakin?
Yes.
The previous letter is saakin. The next letter saakin. Hamzatul was saakin. Three saakin letters.
That's
impossible. I think we don't have such a word, okay?
Allah, the first one is Hamzatul Wasl or Hamzatul Qat?
Huh?
Allah, the first one is Hamzatul Wasl.
Hamzatul Wasl, yes.
Then why read
Allah? Because it is Al Ilah. It is Al Ilah. Ilah, the Hamzatul Qat, Ilah. But Al, that is Hamzatul Wasl, okay? In order to make it easier to pronounce, okay, they have made it Allah. To make it easier, okay? They have removed that.
The real Hamza. Name is Al Ilah?
Ilah means God, okay? Any God. But Al, when we use Ilah. Al, becomes the God. Which God? The only God. Okay? You cannot say, for example, in English as well, we don't say God, we don't write God with small g.
Yeah.
If you write it with a small g, it becomes Ilah, any God. Yeah. But when you write with capital D, G, D, no, G, it becomes God or Allah.
Okay?
But it's better to use the word. It is better to use the word Allah.
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
الحمد لله. Now the things that were important, okay?
Important.
About the differences between these two, Hamza, the first one was Hamza the shape, the form, and the next one was about the position.
Position,
okay. The other one was about
harakat.
Does it accept harakat or no? Hamzatul Wasl does not accept, does not have a harakat, but it accepts sometimes, yes, when needed, when you start from the word that has Hamzatul Wasl, but Hamzatul Qat itself has. So
he kills everybody, he's a
He kills everybody.
Hamzatul Qatl.
And we said also Hamzatul Qat has different forms.
Yeah.
Sometimes alone, like Hadi, every time he's alone. Okay, thinking about his own dreams. Okay,
sometimes and sitting on the head.
Yeah, sometimes on aleph. Sometimes down the aleph. Sometimes on the wall. Sometimes on the yaw. Sometimes down the yaw.
Sometimes on the head.
Canada. Okay, in Canada,
sits
no.
On the earth.
No, it does not go to Canada. Okay, it does not have passport.
Canada is Christian.
Does not have passport.
Oh, yeah, and
they're scared.
Okay, and then the most important thing we learned was about how should we. Pronounce, I mean, the words. How should we read the words? Well, I mean, the Hamzatul Wasl. Should we put a Fatha, Kasra, or Dhamma when we have verbs, yes? We said, if the third letter has Fatha or Kasra, Hamzatul Wasl comes with Kasra. If the third letter has Dhamma, Hamzatul Wasl comes with
Zamma.
So this much, it's enough about Hamzatul Wasl and Qata, okay, in this sessions, inshallah. The next sessions, we'll go to some other rules, okay? Alif Lam Al Ta'rif Shamsi Qamari, also they have some rules, okay, inshallah, that we will talk about them. Then also some other things, okay, that in this level 2 we'll talk about them. One of the most important things that in level 2 we'll talk about it is about about how to stop when we recite, how to stop in any word, okay, for example, yeah, inshallah. So, now I want Mahdi to recite some surahs, some verses of the Quran for us. What surah do you want to recite?
Sir, give him any page. I'll give him.
And he will say page 10 or any page. Sir, give him any page.
So, do you know Surah Al-Inshiqaq?
He's going to know.
Mahdi, do you know how to read Surah Al-Inshiqaq? إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ.
Sir, you want to read Surah Al-Qawwirat?
So we recite a salawat till he finds the page. Okay. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Can you recite Surah Al-Infitar?
No, I want to recite something that's not Surah Al-Tariq.
Something that's not existing in the Quran?
No, something that's not Surah Al-Tariq. He said the name.
No. Can you recite Surah Al-Alaq?
No, Rahman, sir. Surah Rahman.
Mahdi?
No.
Rahman.
This.
Okay. Which one? Recite Bismillah.
Yeah, read it.
What surah is it? Surah Al-A'la. Okay. Yes. Oh, this is a good surah. This is a good surah. We will talk about the Hamzatul Wasl and Fatah.
So can you read till 13?
Recite a salawat. He starts. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum. Okay. Mahdi, recite A'udhu Billah.
A'udhu Billahi min ash-shaytani wajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Okay, just a second. Page 591, right?
Yes.
591, سورة الأعلى. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. Okay, go on. بسم الله.
Come on.
Sir,
come on.
Why is it when I'm trying to recite, he just talks and ruins everything?
Everyone so talks and you don't
أعوذ بالله. Start from...
أعوذ بالله من الشيء.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء نحوا سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء ما إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى
الله
ونيسرك لليسرى
أحسنت
فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى
الله
سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنب الأشقى
ويتجنبها الأشقى. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and Sevier International School Network. Thanks to Minhal Hussain. Thanks to Minhal Hussain, Hadi, Mahdi, Muhammad Yahya, and Habibullah Fasihizada.
Sayyid Hadi.
Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad wa ajil
farj. Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International School.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Ocean of Dua.
A'udhu أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another special edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this special edition during the holy month of Ramadan, we will be having a look at different parts of the supplication Abu Hamza Sumali. We will be bringing you different commentaries on some parts of this dua. We'll be back after you listen to these parts.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya Mawlai, bi dhikrika 'asha qalbi وبمناجاتك بردت ألم الخوف عني.
Dear listeners, we have reached this part of the supplication of Abu Hamza to discuss. يا مولاي بذكرك عاش قلبي وبمناجاتك بردت ألم الخوف عني. O my master, in your remembrance my heart takes delight, and through prayers I hold communion with you. This eases the pain of fear that torments me. Regarding this part of the supplication, in the previous episode, we mentioned that the spirit of different forms and shapes of worship, it could be to be remembrance and paying attention, being heedful of the Almighty Allah, the Absolute Cause, our Creator. We talked about the spirit of remembrance, and it is worth mentioning that remembrance of tongue follows the remembrance by heart. And of course, remembrance of the tongue is always accompanied by the attention of the heart. It is regrettable, however, that in remembering Allah, our acts of remembrance and our adhkar most of the time lack this presence of the heart. So we sometimes pray, we sometimes happen to read Qur'an, but that which is absent in our mind is the remembrance of Allah. This is while the essence and philosophy of prayer is nothing but attention to God. Why does the Qur'an say, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, maintain the prayer for my remembrance, while this salat is the highest form of worship? It is highly enjoined, but yet, لذكري, for my remembrance. So how can you claim to be reciting the Holy Quran without having Almighty Allah in your attention? While supplicating and asking God for something, we're not even mindful of Him most of the time. If a man with spiritual insight observes many of us while praying, he will see that we are thinking of our spouses, our children, our occupations, our houses and positions and stuff. We are entangled with them. That which is totally absent in all different forms of worship during our lives, practically, it is the remembrance of Allah. While it is the spirit of every form of worship.
وَلَعَلَّكُمْ
month of Ramadan is that in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for the people and clear proofs of guidance and criterion. So whoever cites the new moon of the month, let him fast it. And whoever is ill or on a journey, then an equal number of other days. Allah intends for you ease and does not intend for you hardship, and wants for you to complete the period and to glorify Allah for that to which He has guided you, and perhaps you will be grateful.
In any case, the essence and spirit of zikr is the attention of the heart. In this regard, the Quran states, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَضَرُّعًا وَخِيفًا. And remember your Lord with your heart beseechingly and reverentially. وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ, without being loud. It is not proper for a person to shout while mentioning the name of Allah. And this verse enjoins us to remember Allah silently or whisperingly. Of course, in cases where remembrance of Allah or dhikrullah is considered a slogan, such as in the call to prayer in Adhan and reciting Allahu Akbar and Takbir in the battlefront, it must be loud to serve its intended purposes, but most of the time, in normal situations, it is not proper to shout the different names of Allah. And the reason is this, because we must pay attention. Our heart must be paying attention to Allah. So, as we said, our lives in this world is accompanied by many different matters, many different things. Our children, our occupations, our positions, our cars, our houses, anything. So we are accompanied in this life by our anxieties. Some anthropological schools of thought even consider anxiety as the appraiser of man's life and existence, on his or his deciding factor. They claim that man's being human lies in the fact that he must be agitated and he must be anxious. Of course, this view is somehow extreme, but partially true, because the different factors we face will cause us some forms of agitation and anxiety. They're always anxious about the future. It seems that this condition is useful for some reasons and can have positive effects, but it is basically an undesirable state. Now, why are we discussing this? The point is, man is inherently in pursuit of peace of mind. And whenever he's anxious, he needs peace of mind. The depth of human heart must also be serene, and anxieties must be like short and momentary waves that come and go. Otherwise, the life of man becomes gloomy. Now, the point is, there is peace of mind lying only in the remembrance of Almighty Allah. What factor can give tranquility and peace of mind to a person? The Quran states that only remembrance of Allah can calm agitated and anxious hearts. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. The hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be close.
close to you through half my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way. Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله.
Answering your doubts and questions, and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is الرحمن.
Allah,
who is المنان.
لا إله إلا الله.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Q&A on Islamic Beliefs, broadcasting from IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Haydar Bahadli, and today we have our dear esteemed guest, Sayyid Muhsin Naqawi. Sayyid, salam alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Sayyid, previously we were talking about the rank of Ali ibn Abi Talib, Imam Ali, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. And you mentioned that the Prophet is the highest ranking personality within Islam, followed by Ali ibn Abi Talib. But you also mentioned that Imam Ali alayhi salam, Ali ibn Abi Talib, is more superior than the rest of the Prophets. And the question today is, how is that so? How can Imam Ali be better than the rank of Prophets, except for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, in the Nahjul Balagha, the book Nahjul Balagha, Sermon 192, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, إِنَّكَ to Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, إِنَّكَ تَسْمَعُ مَا أَسْمَعَ وَتَرَى مَا أَرَى. Certainly or definitely you tasma'u, you hear what I hear, ma asma wa tara ma ara, and you see what I see. Illa innaka lasta bin nabiyyin, except you are not the Prophet. There's a difference between the Imam Ali alayhi salam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam is Imam, is Wali, is Prophet and the Messenger, Rasul and Nabi. Imam Ali alayhi salam is Imam and Wali, but he is not the Prophet or Messenger. Mm-hmm. So he does not have that rank, because Prophet has said, "Illa innaka lasta bi nabiyyin." You are not the Prophet. Walakinnaka lawazirun. But certainly you are my vizier. Mm-hmm. You're my, you know, successor, mm-hmm. vizier. Wa innaka la'ala khayrin, and you are on the khayr. On the other hand, obviously we have other narrations as well. There is a famous narration in the Siha Sita, the six books of Ahl Sunnah, in which it is said that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that my ulama of my nation, my ummah, scholars of my ummah, are higher in rank than the prophets of Bani Israel.
Okay, so there's a narration.
There's a narration in which Prophet has said,
books.
Yeah. Yeah, in the Sahih Sita, every scholar knows. And if you ask mm-hmm. these scholars, like our brother scholars, they say, yes, I am from those scholars. Mm-hmm. That's another issue. In which Prophet has said, the ulama of my ummah are greater in rank or higher in rank as compared to the prophets of Bani Israel. Mm-hmm. Now, the question is, when a scholar can be greater in the rank